The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Hey, it's a Tuesday. Yeah, Election Day was a week ago. The loser still hasn't conceded. He is conceded, but he hasn't conceded. He hasn't conceded with a D. He is conceded with a T. You know, sometimes I just have to explain these things more for myself than anybody else. All right, welcome to it. It is Tuesday. That means Gotta Laugh is here. We got a lot to talk about today. In fact, when we last got together, you know, a week ago, it was election day. We didn't have any returns. So today will be the first time we get together when we have a winner, kind of, sort of. You know, you could have written this. We couldn't have written the story that we're living through, because this is the most dystopian novel that I've ever heard of. One that the publishers would laugh you out of the office to say, I'm not publishing that book. That is so implausible. Reality failed TV star, failed millionaire, bankrupt 20 times, becomes president of the United States. The guy who, you know, famously says he grabs women by the pussy, and when you're famous, they let you do that. I mean, really? The guy who, like, makes imbecilic faces in debates and makes up names for all of his political opponents. This is who over 70 million Americans voted for. That's what I don't get. I really don't understand what it is about him that people are attracted to. Look, I am not a religious person. You know that. I'm an atheist of Jewish descent who appreciates the traditions, but I don't, you know, I guess I could, I guess I'm spiritual in one sense, but do I think there's an all-powerful God up there? No. Do I believe the Bible stories? Hell no. However, you know, I think back to 8 years or 12 years ago now, when Barack Obama was elected, and how all the, you know, the crazies on the right, all the birthers and the nut jobs were screaming, he's the Antichrist. And I thought, no, I mean, he is a intelligent, smart man. That wasn't what I thought of as the image of the Antichrist that, you know, has populated literature and I guess biblical. I don't know. I don't even know if the Antichrist is in the Bible. Shows what I know. But I think if there is an Antichrist, that's who this guy is. I really think there are a number of people, you know, the Bible thumpers, the what are they called? The dominionists, the crazies who are waiting for the end of the world to come. I think that's what they like about him. I think they believe he's the Antichrist and he's going to bring about the end of the world. It's the only plausible explanation. And when I said plausible, it made me laugh, because how fucking ridiculous is that? Yeah. All right. We got a lot. We got news. Let me start off right here. Today was the day, 1 week after Election Day. Remember, we were telling you this all through the election and all through the very rushed confirmation process for Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Well, today was her first day on the job. And although they don't televise Supreme Court proceedings, they do often stream the audio, and today the audio was streaming on C-SPAN. So I sat here and listened to it. I recorded it. I absorbed it. We're not going to talk much about it today, because tomorrow Wendell Potter will be here. Now, if you've been paying attention to, you know, the way of our world for, you know, more than a decade, you know Wendell Potter, because he was the Cigna communications vice president, you know, upper, you know, management level health industry tool, whose job it was to shill for the insurance industry. And when Michael Moore's movie Sicko came out, it was Wendell Potter's job to basically disown it, to expose it for the fraud that it is, when it wasn't. I mean, everything Michael Moore reported on in that film was the truth. Wendell Potter, actually, I believe, if my memory of the story serves, because this is, we're going back about a dozen years or a little more now, but he went into a movie theater and watched it, and it opened his eyes. And then he went to an event called Remote Area Medical, I believe in Kentucky. I used to interview the guy who ran these clinics, these remote area medical clinics. His name was Stan Brock, British guy, who used to do one of those like Wild Kingdom shows back decades ago. And then he dedicated his life to remote area medical, where they would go around the world to remote, as the name implies, remote areas, and bring a whole medical clinic to treat people who never get to see a doctor. Well, you know what? I don't think it was Kentucky. I think it was Tennessee, which is where Wendell Potter is from. And he was visiting his hometown and saw this setup, this remote area medical setup, and saw thousands of Americans lining up to see a doctor or a dentist because they didn't have access to them in their regular lives, because they couldn't afford it. Because in the United States of America, we don't consider healthcare to be a basic human right. It's something that if you're wealthy enough and you can pay for, you can get. Hey, lucky you. And who said we had a two-tiered system here in this country? Anyway, that opened Wendell Potter's eyes, and he went on to become the only, still to this day, insurance industry whistleblower. And boy, did he blow that whistle. And he told us what the role of the insurance company is. He told us what his job was, which was to do propaganda on behalf of the for-profit insurance industry, to smear Michael Moore, to discredit his film, and like that. And he turned it around. I can't remember the name of the book. Deadly Spin. That's the name of his first book, Wendell Potter. The book is called Deadly Spin. I think I read it in 2 days because I lived through it. Back, I was on Air America back when the Affordable Care Act was being written in three different committees, and there were debates ad nauseum. And, you know, what Republicans do is they lie to you and they say, oh, they passed it in the dead of night. Nobody had a chance to read it or vote. Bullshit. It went on for months and months and months in three different committees. Then they merged the three different bills, and they went through conference after conference. They made all these, gave in on demand to the Republicans to get them on the bill. And then, of course, none of them voted for it. But they did give them a lot of concessions along the way. So this went on. We lived it. Wendell Potter has been the voice of honesty. He's the one who told us, look, I know a lot of us are in that Medicare age. I'm not yet, but my husband is. And I understand what we want is a real Medicare. You want Medicare, not Medicare Advantage. Well, I learned why from Wendell Potter. Medicare Advantage is the for-profit insurance company, whichever one you choose to go with, gets to administer your Medicare plan. But in doing so, they also get to deny you services. See, that's the difference. If you are on straight Medicare with a Medicare gap plan, basically, they don't. If the doctor orders a test or a procedure or says you need something, you get it. That's how Medicare works. Medicare Advantage, though, goes through the private insurance company, whether it's Aetna or AvMed or Blue Cross Blue Shield or United Healthcare, whoever it is, they get to administer it. And they get to decide whether or not you get that test that the doctor ordered. They can deny you services, and that's why you don't want Medicare Advantage. However, you see the commercials. They make it so attractive. Not only will you have no premium payment. It's all free. We'll also pick you up and drive you to your doctor's appointments. We'll give you a free gym membership. We'll buy you food. The commercials, you can get, and you'll get $144 back in your Social Security check every month. They're bribing you to take this Medicare Advantage so that when you're like dying and you need a stent inserted in your arteries, they say, nah, it's not medically necessary. That's the problem. And you know what? That's what David has. Because we can't afford the regular straight Medicare and the Medicare gap. Anyway, I digress. But tomorrow, Wendell Potter will be back on the show. I know he sat and listened to the hearing today in the Supreme Court, as I did. I'll give you one little hint, though. Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts sounded a whole lot like they're not ready to say no more Affordable Care Act. I think we're going to have a 5-4 vote with Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts voting with the three liberals on the court. Knocking on wood, laminate. Anyway, so we can keep this, bad system that we have. But I will say the Affordable Care Act, better than not having it at all. Because when we didn't have it at all, I couldn't buy health insurance because of pre-existing conditions. I don't want to go back 12 years. Back in time, back in progress, what we need to do is move forward. And if that means they want to start with a public option and lower the Medicare age to 60, I say, bring it on. Let's go. But we need to save it first. All right, so we're going to deal with that tomorrow. All right, now that I blathered on for 10 minutes, let me share this with you because, you know, I like to play a funny before the show. This one is an artist. I believe he's Australian, but I could be wrong. He could be like Dutch or Finnish. His name is Christian with two A's, Van Vuren with two U's, V-U-U-R-E-N. You know, that's one thing you can say about Donald Trump. He certainly got the attention of the world, and his defeat got the attention of the world. So Christian Van Vuren, tell us what you think. Here's a song that he calls Bye Bye, Donnie. Take it away.
Lies and you can go get fucked. The people spoke and they spoke by mail, so pack your shit cause it's time to bail. Sorry buddy, but you lost it mate, and like everything true you'll call it fake. But who'd have thought you'd be such a wussy when America grabbed you by the pussy and threw you out after just one term, cause they finally realized that you're a germ and COVID's not the only thing you spread, like lies, fear, hate, confusion and dread. And you told your own voters not to vote by mail in a global pandemic, and that was your fail. So shut up Donnie and practice what you preach. Have some dignity and give your concession speech. Just tell everyone it's a conspiracy. Blame your fall on American democracy. Make up excuses and a million reasons from your shitty press conference at the Four Seasons. Get out there and go tell more lies. Do what you do best and propagandize. No one's expecting you to be apologetic, but let me explain it using your logic. See, you find more COVID when you do more tests, and you find more results when more votes get read. It's crazy, but that's how counting works. I can show you if you want to share your tax returns. You'll be fine, old mate. You survived impeachment, you survived coronavirus by injecting disinfectant. You've had 6 bankruptcies and 2 divorces, 200 days of tax-paid golf and golf courses. You survived the guilt of putting kids in cages and 26 sexual misconduct accusations. You've only got like 4,000 active lawsuits, so man up, Donnie, and hang up the boots. Fake news, fake hair, fake tan, fake smiles, fake offshore accounts in the Cayman Isles. You're a fake president with a fake first lady who's gonna take half of your fake ass money. And you finally succeeded in building your wall around the White House, and it's 10 feet tall for someone who hates lockdown as much as you do. You were quick to lock yourself down in there, dude. Fake friends who used you to climb the ladder, and fake everything else that no longer matters. Fake supporters who piss on homeless people. You're the sworn enemy of the American eagle, cause you tried to fool the world with no regret, and you're in $900 million debt. On the down low, if you know what I mean, like your old mate Jeffrey Epstein. Nah, you'll be fine. You've told 20,000 lies and 230,000 people have died, just like daddy's money gave you your start. Daddy Bannon will give you a job at Bright. Cause no one believes your bullshit rules, cause you're doing what you said you'd do when you lose. So see ya buddy, you gave it a crack, and now even Fox News hasn't got your back. So sorry old chum, but you're out of tricks, and you can suck 75 million dicks. The people voted someone else was hired, so sorry to say it, cunt, but you're fired.
Ooh,
Bye-bye, Donnie.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Hold on. All right, so we're back, and I see I've got a call from San Diego. And I think this is my old friend there, who is the Republican 18-year-old. Is that you?
Yes, this is I, Vivian Marlboro.
I'm sorry, it's who?
This is I, Vivian Marlboro.
It is you, Vivian Marlboro. Okay, and so Vivian, yes. What you're calling to say, you wised up and you voted for Joe Biden?
I voted for Joe Jorgensen, but I voted... But wait, hold on. Stupid fucking echo. I voted to let people on parole vote.
Oh, that's mighty big of you.
I voted to try to keep, and I voted to keep zero bail a thing.
Okay.
And I voted against you know that the stem cell stuff. I voted against that.
Why? I'm not in California, so I don't know what was on the ballot, but you don't believe in medical research? Your mother is so awesome. How did you become her kid? How did she raise you? I don't understand that, because my kid...
I was born.
Yeah.
All right. Mother.
Okay. Well,
like, the thing is, voting for it would have made me a hypocrite because I'm a vegetarian.
What does that have to do with anything? You're not killing anybody when you use stem cells. You know what? You're an idiot. Go back to school. Listen to your mother
learn something. I wanted to talk to you about the election quickly.
Why? What do you want to say?
So I was actually kind of surprised how long it took for anyone to really be declared president-elect. I mean, obviously, like, it's not decided yet fully because, you know, there's still the whole thing in December with the actual electors.
What is your point?
Do you think that there are going to be any faithless electors in this?
No, I don't. Thank you for calling. You know what? I don't have time for this shit. I'd rather get Laffy on. I got to bring Progressive Voices back from their break because they were on a break. So let me do that. So let me do this. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm glad that this kid is, you know, the 18-year-old kid from San Diego called, wants to be involved. He needs to shut up and listen. He needs to listen to his mother, who I've had a couple of wonderful conversations with. She's a wonderful woman. Smart, sharp. You know, I guess sometimes just one of the kids comes out the wrong way. He must have come out feet first or something. I don't know. And having only one child who listens to her mother and is a good human being, I don't know what that's like. But boy, I guess I remember what it was like when I was 18 years old and thought I knew everything. Go to school. Listen. Get involved in a political science class. Learn something. Listen to people who know what the hell they're doing, okay? That's my best advice for you. And turn off Fox. Seriously. All right. So now that I did that and I lost my mojo here, I think it's time to get it back, don't you? So to do that, I think we do this.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Every Tuesday, our pal Gotta Laugh joins us. And we talk about the news and stuff like that. And obviously, we got a lot to talk about today. But first, we got to get her on the phone. So let me push a few buttons here. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the don't let the door hit you on the way out hotline.
Yeah, baby.
Press one if you think Trump's finally caught between a rock and a crematorium and a sex shop. You know I had to do that.
And a garden hose. Yeah.
Press two if you think before Trump finally leaves the White House, he'll hold a super shredder event.
Yeah.
See, super spreaders.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. Press 3 if you think once Trump and his family are convicted of all their crimes, Ivanka will say, Daddy, Daddy, make sure you bribe someone to give us a father-daughter cell.
Oh, that would be good.
So used to being together.
Oh, yes, they are. And actually,
keep
Ivanka handy, because I think somebody's calling in to talk to her today.
That's exciting.
We may have a visitor a little later in the hour.
It's nice because I don't get many calls anymore. And people don't seem to understand me as much as they used to.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Daddy always understands me, but it seems like people are not as complimentary as they used to be. And even Jared is sort of paler and gaunter and more translucent than usual. So I think something's up.
Oh. You getting ready to leave the White House?
No. There's no reason to leave the White House. There's no reason to leave.
But there is.
That's my home.
You know what? Oh, I got to play this other song for you. I won't play, I can't play it from there. I'm going to play you a little song in a couple of minutes. As soon as I get it up here. Because loser.
Well, before we get into all that with whoever's calling,
I got a song for you. Here.
I'm Donald Trump, and I'm fucking off soon. The White House will have a
new president.
You know that it's true.
I've been mad without precedent. It's sad
because my madness is evident.
And the coronavirus endorsed me for president. Trump is going to win, and you're going to lose.
But that turned out to be fake news because I've left the country
broken
and tired. The American people told me you're fired. Wow. I've been shown the door.
I'm a loser.
Maybe Joe Biden
has killed me.
Wow. I've been shown the door.
I'm a loser.
Maybe Joe Biden
has killed
me.
That is somebody who goes by the name of Cassette Boy, who took Beck's Loser and chopped up Donald Trump's words to put together 50 seconds of that song, and it's pretty brilliant. All right.
I like it.
Good okay, stuff.
So I was going to say we better tweet because...
Because we
I've
may
got
have
so
a
much
surprise
and we have someone else. So.
Phone call coming in. All right. Yeah. So somebody, who's in charge of the birds today? Let loose the birdies! Whoops. Let's try it again. Let loose... the birdies!
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay. I think I zapped somebody with the audio. Sorry about that. Hopefully the audio
exhausted.
Is better.
That was a lot of dancing. Okay.
Yeah,
so I have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to get through these.
Okay.
I added one.
Yeah?
So Jennifer Griffin... Of Fox, national security. She said U.S. defense official confirms chief of staff Jen Stewart replaced by Kash Patel, former Devin Nunes staffer who worked to discredit the Russian investigation,
yeah.
And also Vice Admiral Joseph Kernan, retired Navy SEAL who was Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. Okay, so Tommy Vitor.
Something like that.
Pod Save America.
Yeah.
He said, would love to know, and this is, I got a lot of tweets about this, but this is the one I chose. Would love to know what is motivating this Intel DOD purge. Are we authorizing programs, destroying documents, declassifying stuff, just owning the libs? Seems pretty worrisome.
It sounds like a coup to me. It sounds like he knows there were some military people in there from Esper on down who, when push comes to shove, would gladly remove him from the White House come January 20th. He's replacing everyone who would put a check on him, who would use the power of the government to remove the guy who doesn't belong there anymore after January 20th. I really think this is what's going on. He's replacing everybody who's not a loyalist.
Well, yes, that I That much I do know.
And he's been doing that for a while.
But is there, I just wondered if there was any more to it than
I don't know.
That. But anyway, maybe they're going to build a little wall around him.
Okay, Christopher Ingram from the Washington Post wrote, White House is directing federal agencies to proceed with plans for Trump's February budget. None of this is a joke. None of this is a joke. This is frightening. And, you know, Joe Biden spoke today. And
I have a quote here.
Okay, and so do I. I've got audio. Actually.
Oh, even better. I'm talking about the embarrassment, quite frankly.
Okay, you go first. And when we get to Joe Biden, I'll bring up the quote.
Yeah, this is the Joe Biden quote. I mean, I was live tweeting, so it's not a complete quote. But they asked, what do you think about Trump not conceding? And he said, an embarrassment, quite frankly. How can I say this tactfully? I think it won't help his legacy. I know from foreign leaders.
I got that. I have that clip.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was wondering. Okay, great. So go ahead and.
Have you tried to reach out at all to the president? And if he is watching right now, what would you say to him?
Mr. President, I look forward to speaking with you.
And you say that you are being able to move ahead without interruption. But to Jeff's point, presumably at some point you will need access to more classified information, secure facilities and the like. What options are you considering? How will you move ahead if the president continues to refuse to concede?
Well, look, access to classified information is useful, but I'm not in a position to make any decisions on those issues anyway. There's one, as I said, one president at a time, and he will be president until January 20th. It would be nice to have it, but it's not critical. That's so we're just going to proceed the way we have. We're going to do exactly what we'd be doing if he had conceded and said we've won, which we have. And so there's nothing really changing.
But not ruling out legal action.
No, I don't see a need for legal action, quite frankly. I think the legal action is you're seeing it play out, the actions he's taking. And so far, there is no evidence of any of the assertions made
the wrong clip.
By the president or Secretary of State Pompeo.
Oh, God. All right. So that was Secretary obviously State the Pompeo. Wrong clip. This is the one, I think, where he said it's embarrassing.
The president himself says he has won this election. His own administration has not moved forward to give you access to what you need to do to begin the work of your transition. Just a few minutes ago, the Secretary of State, when asked if he would cooperate with a smooth transition, he said there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. I wonder if you have a message for the president who may well be watching right now. And how do you expect to be able to work with Republicans when so many have thus far refused to even acknowledge your victory?
Well, first of all, we are already beginning the transition. We're well underway.
All right. At some point he said, this is embarrassing. I thought it was there. I guess not.
That's the right. And I got rid of the tweet. But okay.
He did say,
did
this
you get
is
the one about Pompeo in there where he laughs at
him? But that was in the long one that I thought was the first one that so we played that. He was asked about Pompeo and he sort of laughed it off. Here's my problem though. He is saying this is only 8 seconds here. Like this is his attitude.
How do you expect to work with Republicans if they won't even acknowledge you as president-elect?
They will.
They will. So that's his answer. That was his last answer. They will. Look, I appreciate his zen-ness. I appreciate that he's not, you know, flying off the handle and saying that fucking piece of shit is. He's saying, just let it play out. We won. Come January 20th, we'll take office. We'll take the oath. And I also have to give him credit for. It's everything is the Biden-Harris administration, the Biden-Harris plan, the Biden-Harris. He is giving her so much cred. He's elevating her basically to, his partner. Yes, definitely for a reason. But, good for him for that, because a lot of them don't, Trump never, he belittles Mike Pence, which is what Mike Pence deserves. But yes, he belittles everyone. But I appreciate that. But he's just saying, you know what? We're cool in terms of the money for office space or whatever. We're okay. I don't need it. In terms of the intelligence would be nice to have. In terms of everything else, Joe Biden knows how the White House works better than Donald Trump does. So he said, even if we have to, you know, work parallel to them, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, throughout this transition period, so be it. It's okay. We'll be fine. Let him come around. And it's what an adult does. Right. Obviously, he's the adult I'm not, because I'd be
livid. Well, he sucked
livid.
The air out of Trump's. What he did was he wouldn't acknowledge and give Trump anything that he was trying to get Biden to do. He wouldn't take the bait. And instead, he dismissed it like a little, like somebody wrote a little flicking away of the fly, which not only elevates Biden, it diminishes Trump. And he exuded confidence. He exuded. I mean, I was really happy with it. I think the thing about, oh, we will with getting along with the Republicans. Right. I think it was the same kind of thing.
Yes.
We're not going to let their words get to us.
Nope.
We're not going to bite. We're going to keep plugging away and we're going to get there.
I think
and
you're
that's
right.
That's what America needed to hear.
By the way, there's been another high-level removal from the White House. Kyle Griffin just tweeted, the White House has removed Michael Kupperberg, the head of the program that produces the federal government's most definitive scientific report on climate change. Yeah. There is a purge going on.
Oh, yeah, and that was yesterday.
That was yesterday, but these are, you know, this is...
Or this morning.
There's a... It's a big revolving door. This is what he's
doing.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's going to do as much damage as he possibly can.
It's called scorched earth.
Yes, it is. He's an asshole. All right. This is from Tay Anderson. He's a Denver school board director and a community organizer and an activist. And he said, this is on November 7th, so the day after. He said, Donald Trump got the full 2020 experience, COVID and unemployment.
And soon nice he'll be evicted.
Yes. Yeah, take a little taste of what Jared does to people,
No shit.
Get
no
kicked out shit. Of your place. Merriam-Webster tweeted something interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was on November 7th. They said, here's the top lookups in order on November 7th.
Hmm. Okay.
Repudiation.
Okay.
Schadenfreude.
Okay.
President-elect.
Oh.
Concede,
yes.
Concede.
With a D.
Mandate.
Yes, mandate,
Incumbent. Hallelujah. Not kidding. Malarkey.
Uh-huh.
Projection.
Yeah.
And gravitas.
Uh-huh. You know, speaking of hallelujah, I came up with a great idea for a cold open for Saturday Night Live, and I was fully expecting it, but they didn't do it. Do you remember 4 years ago when Donald Trump won and what they opened and it was Kate McKinnon in her Hillary garb
An offshoot of that when they had,
Alex Trump. Right, sit at the piano. But okay, so 4 years ago, it was Kate McKinnon sitting at the piano as Hillary singing the Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah. Well, I thought this time they would have, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris doing a gospel Hallelujah chorus. You know, I thought it would have been actually better than what they did.
Yeah, I didn't quite.
It was okay.
Showing Trump at the piano doing a slow version of whatever it was.
Yeah, my idea is better.
I agree.
Yeah. So Saturday Night Live, I'm happy to share ideas with you. Feel free to call.
Just get paid for it.
Yes.
Okay. So Kojo Ebro, who is I have no idea, but he has a blue check next to his name and does not explain who he is.
Okay.
He just says work, and he goes by Old Man Ebro.
Okay.
Yes. He said people were throwing paper towels over the fence in D.C. That was so cool. I saw the video.
We could have used some of those. We had a hurricane here yesterday morning, and I didn't even talk about it on the air. Etta, who came up through Cuba and sat on South Florida. Now, it wasn't very windy here because it was it was probably just tropical storm force winds when it came on shore. But boy, did it pour, and parts it flooded all over Broward County, all over South Florida. It was
and
it's still parked like right off the coast. So,
Of course,
it wouldn't be 2020 without a hurricane.
That's
you
true.
Know, and, I, and, okay. and the people on the Gulf Coast, I feel sorry for because they've gotten hit, 20 times already this year. This was our first one. So it had to get us at least once.
Well, 2020. Okay, Jared Yates Sexton.
Yes.
He is a political analyst, and he wrote a thread that I'd like to read. This is, it's self-explanatory. And okay. Stop me if I go on too long, because it's okay. A long thread.
Okay,
just say shut up, we're done. Uh-huh. People keep asking whether Trump and the Republicans' attempt to steal the election is legitimate, if it's a coup, if it's a fundraising scheme, if it's posturing, if it's actually all that dangerous. The answer is yes, all of these things and so much more.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we have to establish is that Trump is erratic. He flails and rages. But that flailing and raging, paired with his shamelessness, exposes weaknesses in our system.
Yeah.
When Trump finds a weakness, he exploits it until he breaks through. That is the best explanation. I've always said he tries things out. If they start to take, he pushes them further. This is better. He finds a weakness, he exploits it until he breaks through. Right now, Trump is defeated. He has no legitimate means of winning this election, and so he's throwing everything at it in hopes something will stick. At times, it's laughable, but all he needs is one thing to work. And yes, Trump is using this crisis as a means of fundraising, sending out alarming emails and messages, raising money from angry supporters desperate for hope. But it also continues to establish an escalating crisis. It does multiple things at once. Trump is a gambler playing multiple hands. He's a terrible gambler, but his entire life he's just trying so many angles at so many times that he waits until he finds something that even halfway works. This, right now, this is multiple hands of a badly played poker. So what are the possible outcomes? Trump loses but saves face. Trump loses but raises money. Trump manages to break through, subvert democracy, and steals the election.
Uh-oh.
These are all, quote, wins for him, even if it means radicalizing people and a coup. This is how Trump sees the world. He's not worried about inspiring violence, destroying democracy, hurting the nation, or anyone in it. He's looking for his best possible outcome and doesn't care what he does in the process. It's a coup and a scam, both things at once.
Right.
That was in capital letters. Meanwhile, and this is important, the Republicans are playing their own games. Some are true believers, nuts who believe the election was stolen, but most understand Trump lost and are playing their own game. We have to understand why they're doing it. People like McConnell and Graham are giving voice to Trump for multiple reasons. They need to keep Trump as active in the GOP. They need to mm-hmm. win the special elections in Georgia. Mm-hmm. The controversy creates passion and it leads to fundraising, but they're also fine with a coup. If Trump manages to break through and actually steals the election, the Republicans will be fine with it. That would mean power, and that's their only concern. The willingness to harness a fascist strongman is why they cannot be trusted with power. As I mentioned in my article this morning, Fox News is now vying to keep its audience as Trumpists reject it for actually reporting Biden's win. They'll cover these conspiracy theories to keep viewers loyal if possible. The whole point is this. Trump and the GOP are playing a dangerous game. The coup might not work, but they see an advantage at flirting with a coup. The coup might work, and they see an advantage with grasping power for themselves. It's a win-win for them while we lose. I don't think Trump or the GOP truly believe they're going to manage to overturn the election, but peddling these conspiracy theories help them regardless. But the frightening thing, if it does work and they carry out a coup, they're more than happy to accept that. This has been theater from the very beginning. Trump played an authoritarian on TV, and he became one.
Ah.
You play the role until you are the role.
Right.
In this case, they're posturing for power and profit until they gain power and profit one way or another. Again, this doesn't mean the coup will work. It's haphazard, lazy, and stupid, but it could work. That's the danger here we have to take seriously, not to mention the fact that these people are more than willing to endanger lives and threaten democracy. I'm almost done.
Okay.
If the coup works, we're in a whole world of trouble. If it doesn't, Trump and the GOP have turned the temperature up, radicalized numbers of supporters, and possibly inspired terroristic attacks by their supporters. It's unconscionable and dangerous on a whole other level. People are going to tell you there's nothing to worry about. That's absolutely wrong and irresponsible. You can recognize there's no legal ground here while understanding these people are bad faith actors who rage until they find weakness in the law and systems. Last one. This thing isn't a joke. Trump and the GOP are playing a game, but there's nothing funny about it. We're all in incredible danger right now, and pretending like it isn't dangerous, win or lose, only empowers and enables them to continue destroying democracy.
There you go. Okay, I have breaking news for you.
Okay.
Apparently, the whole, you know, the Trump's contesting the election in Pennsylvania has to do with one guy, a U.S. Postal Service employee in Erie, Pennsylvania, named Richard Hopkins, who signed a sworn affidavit with allegations of ballot tampering fraud, who went public through Project Veritas. The inspector general began investigating last week. The inspector general investigators informed the committee oversight committee staff today that they interviewed Hopkins on Friday, but that Hopkins today recanted his allegations yesterday and did not explain why he signed a false affidavit. So that happened. I don't think this is the call we're expecting, but we'll find out who it is. Hi. Okay. Who's this?
Nicole Sandler. How are you doing?
Okay. Who's this?
I am a first time caller from Toronto, Canada, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
So when you used to sub for Randy Rose back in the days from 2009, I found Randy, Steph, Tom, and I'm still here listening from Toronto, Canada. Can I swear on your radio?
Yeah. Awesome. Yes, you're on the radio.
What the motherfuck is going on with that orange fool in the States? What's going on with us? No, serious. Like, us Canadians, actually, we were partying here, actually. I had a house party. Well, we all had masks on, like, family, 20 of us. We were all celebrating. We had, like, watch parties, like, you know, in the evenings. Like, us Canadians, we love America because we're sister countries, but we hate that fucker.
Yes.
What's going on in your country? Like, why is he, like, just calling the vice president and says congrats? Like, what's going on? Like, why? I don't understand, like, Canadian conservatives, right? Or liberal, your guy's liberal there.
Yeah.
So a Democrat in your country, it's our conservative. Like, our conservatives is nothing like your conservatives there.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay. All right.
So us Canadians, like, my question is, what the fuck is going on?
That's what we keep asking.
Yeah, we don't really know. We're just trying to survive until January 20th when we can get the fucker out of office.
Well, please get him out of here. We don't want him here. We'll deport his ass back to fucking whatever it came from. Fuck him. But I love your shows, Nicole. I listen every day. I'm a first-hand caller.
Well, thank you.
And please just give Joe Biden a little leeway. That's all I'm asking. Please.
Give him a what?
Please.
Give him
a little
what?
Leeway.
Oh, a little leeway. You got it. You got it. Well, I am.
Please.
I'm being. Thank you for calling. And greetings to our friends in Canada. We may have to come stay with you in a little while. Okay, I'll be in touch.
I've applied. Okay.
All right.
Let me read you this. This is the one that I read to you that was so graphic.
Yeah. Okay.
This is by Hari Kunzru, a novelist. He said, you may want to mute this account for a while because I feel I may have to individually insult every member of the outgoing administration in crude and personal ways. Here's an example. I'll give you like a couple of examples of his tweets.
Okay.
Hold on to your hats, people. Mike Pence, you repressed, joyless, would-be witch finder. Every time you spoke, you always looked like you were straining to expel an enormous bolus of your own hypocrisy from your clenched sphincter.
Nice.
That's one. Betsy DeVos, you blandly foolish, soulless, and soulless entitled child-stealing witch rotting like a corpse inside your Chanel suit. All the generals, you spineless, buzz-cut, phallus-brained, plastic Spartans fawning and wriggling to distract yourself from your moral cowardice. Kaylee McEnany, you evacuated husk of a mean girl cheerleader. The cavity where your heart once was pumped full of spite and moronic lies.
Okay, who is this? Because I think I need to not mute him, but follow him.
Exactly. Hari, H-A-R-I-K-U-N-Z-R-U. He's a novelist.
Okay. Gotcha. He does have a way with words.
Bill Barr, you vast, pompous, pus-filled bladder of... I don't even know what the word is. You are an enemy of justice, bloated with resentment and cruelty, wobbling like a jelly at the feet of the oligarchs. Jared Kushner, you vacuous, dainty, preening, overpromoted nub of mediocrity, squeezed like an entitled smear of toothpaste into a silk suit, bought with tear-stained dollars wrung out of the suffering tenants of your slum apartments. Whew! Ivanka Trump, Daddy, help me. Ivanka Trump, you monstrous slug of vanity, you infantile mini so marinated in self-regard that in your pea brain you believe we ought to love you for your crimes. I could go on.
Okay, now, that's okay. We get the idea. tell us what you really think, sir. Yeah.
I love it. Anyway, yeah. John Cryer had a thread. I'm just going to read
John Cryer, the actor, Pretty in Pink.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He always, he's a good tweeter. He's actually retweeted a couple of my things. We're on the same wavelength, I was going to say. Thread.
Yeah.
All the stuff Biden should do because Republicans were fine with it when Trump did it. For example, ignore Senate oversight by appointing acting members of his cabinet. Ignore subpoenas, executive orders for everything. Appoint Hunter Biden as a White House advisor. Give him a security clearance he doesn't deserve, then put him in charge of coronavirus and peace in the Middle East. Berate, belittle, and insult the Republican leaders and their constituents at every opportunity and take joy in their unhappiness. Have foreign countries, companies, and lobbyists pay Biden business entities while he makes decisions affecting them. Golf, golf, golf at Biden-owned resorts, thus forcing taxpayers to put money directly in his pockets and increase the national debt by 36%. I'm not going to go on, but you get
right.
the idea.
I definitely get the idea.
Okay, so we've talked about a little bit in the opening, the Four Seasons total landscaping debacle.
Yeah, yes.
Where
I'm that is my favorite story. And now they're saying that that was where they planned on doing it all along, but Donald Trump misunderstood and thought they were doing it at the luxury Four Seasons Hotel. No. But they all the time were doing it at this little strip mall landscape place next to the crematorium and the dildo store.
Okay. No. Wrong, but here's the capper.
Yeah.
Man featured at Giuliani press conference as a convicted sex offender.
Yeah, kids, like a pedophile sex offender.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
That's who they had up there.
Oh my God.
At their between a rock and a hard place. Oh my
so
God. I can't even. Okay. Michael Haddam, historian.
Yeah.
He said the fucking nerve it takes to not only benefit from an already imbalanced system, but to then gut the Voting Rights Act, engage in unprecedented gerrymandering, remove voting machines to cause hours-long lines, pass voter ID laws, cripple the USPS, and then claim you've been cheated.
Right. Yes. Well, this is it. That's exactly it.
Yep. It's always
the victim. He's always the victim.
As you know, McConnell acknowledged that the election led victories from CBS to GOP senators and House members. But for the presidential race, he said no states have yet certified their election results. And President Trump is 100% within his rights to weigh legal options. Igor Volsky, executive director of Guns Down America, said, note that McConnell doesn't question the legitimacy of any Senate or House races, just the presidential race, even though all were on the same ballot. They think we're really stupid.
Well, you know, stupid, that's kind of a harsh word.
They think we're really stupid?
Yeah.
That's not harsh enough. They think we're total morons.
Yeah.
Okay, so when, you know about Pompeo, where he made the
God. Yes. In fact, have it here. I do have the clip here. Hold on. Let's find it. So Mike Pompeo is speaking at a thing, at an official event. And then he was being interviewed. And then I guess he took some questions from the press. And this happened.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right.
Yeah.
We're ready. The world is watching what's
so there was the
place.
Little the votes. Kind of a nod to a laugh.
There'll be electors selected.
And then he goes on to half explain it. But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're the Secretary of State. It's not funny. Oh, look at that.
Oh.
The phone is ringing.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's see who this is. We've had some weird phone calls today. Hello, it's the Nicole Sandler Show. Who's calling?
Yes, it's still your president, by the way. Not going anywhere for a while, so I thought I'd call into this failing show and see what's going on.
Daddy.
Ivanka's here.
Oh, well, I knew it was almost like there was a bat signal. You know when Batman shows up, when he sees the signal? When I feel a presence of Ivanka and I know, okay, I knew there was a good reason to call.
Daddy,
hello, Ivanka.
Hi, Daddy. I can't wait to be First Lady again.
Well, you know what? It's and possibly Vice President.
Oh,
you forgot. You didn't tell me that part, Daddy. I'm excited.
Well, that's, you know what? I know what turns you on. I talk about vice presidential politics. I talk about other strong things, and I know how excited it gets you. Jared isn't around, is he?
It does. Daddy, tell me that bedtime story again about how we are pretending to win. You know, tell me.
Oh, you're pretending to win.
Oh, we're not. No, we would pretend. We would roll. It's called role play. I like to call it role play, where you know, I'm a second and third term president, and she's vice president, and also maybe a little bit more. And
I love that part, Daddy.
But this isn't pretend. This is actually happening. We have great lawsuits. We have Mitch McConnell, Turtle Mitch, backing us up.
Uh-huh.
So things are going very strongly.
Strongly.
They are. Yeah. I love when you say strong, because you, especially when you flex your muscles when you say it. I love that.
Well, and you can't see all the muscles that I'm flexing right now when you talk like that.
This
Daddy,
is really creepy.
You promised you wouldn't talk like that in front of other people.
Well, there's nothing. I have a lot of muscles. I'm very powerful. I'm very strong. There's a lot of strong strength. So, you know, I speak strongly about my strength.
So, Mr. President, let me ask you this. You have lost. You lost the popular vote by 4.5 million votes. You've lost. Whether you're fighting for 180 ballots in Virginia or in Arizona, and you're behind, like, you know, 17,000. 180 ballots aren't going to do you any good. What are you doing?
We think there is an amazing amount of fraud. Okay, so you're talking about the ballots that you know about. I know about a lot more ballots than
really?
This. And there was tremendous fraud. And many states, in all the states that I lost, there was fraud.
Oh, just in the states that you lost. In the states you won, there was no fraud?
Not a lot. Yeah, maybe. No. In fact, we looked very strongly and found zero fraud.
Oh, I see. Let me ask you this. In Pennsylvania, your whole case revolved around this postal service worker named, what's his name? Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins. He recanted his story. He lied.
Exactly. So now you know you can't trust him. So he could be lying either way. All we know is we can't trust him, and we need more information, more strong. It's called reliable information, and he's obviously not reliable. So we're going to find somebody that's reliable.
Oh, I see. Somebody,
Daddy,
to lie for you. Okay. Yeah.
Daddy, I have a question. Okay, so you know how Pompeo said there would be a smooth transition to your second term. Well, it totally reminded me of your smooth transitions to all of your wives.
Well, no, I don't know that there's been any smoother transition. In fact, my current wife, mesothelioma, I don't think she even knows that she's going to be out soon. That's how smooth, like, she doesn't even know. She might be getting served with divorce papers as we speak.
Really?
And
I
hope that excites you.
Are you going to send her,
Daddy,
to go along with your Secretary of Defense? You're going to fire her?
Well, I'll probably tweet a copy of my, a picture of me signing the divorce papers and at her. I'll at her on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, and that's how you'll let her know.
Yeah, you know, like Ivanka said, you know, very smooth. You know, no muss, no fuss, we call it.
Yeah.
Daddy, they're calling it a coup, and then somebody looked at me, and they said, cuckoo. And I didn't understand.
I don't, you know what? I think that's them saying that you're a beautiful bird with beautiful feathers. I think that's what they're saying.
Thank you, Daddy. I knew that you would explain it. I mean, you say everything so well, and you always...
But one of those birds, like the Purdue Farm birds, where they enhance the chest, the breasts of the birds, so that they're, you know, it's you're more like one of those kind of birds, because I have the receipts.
I call that Purdue. don't birds, because people are always looking at my birds, and I always say don't.
Well, don't with two D's, because it's a double D.
That's so true. You're so deep.
All
well,
right.
I've never heard that before.
So, speaking of deep, I noticed you were digging up the White House North Lawn or South Lawn or something last night. Were you looking for your extra votes or burying bodies? I mean, what were you doing back there?
Well, that's, you know, well, I think that'll come out soon, that we have great information, we have evidence, and also, you know, if melatonin doesn't go with the divorce papers, you know, we may handle this the way they handle it in the old country.
Which is?
Well, one way or the other, you know, the wife has to go.
Oh, I see.
And she can go sort of the divorce papers way, or she can, you know, the Transylvanian way where she's from.
Transylvania. Okay. So is there a Mrs. Trump number four waiting in the wings, or am I stepping on Ivanka's toes here?
That would be my job.
Right. We're going to put Ivanka in charge. We may even make it a sort of reality show, The Trump Bachelor on OAN, sort of original programming, and maybe an OAN streaming service, and she'll be in charge of that. But I hope it turns out to be like when Dick Cheney was looking for the vice president. He was the head of the vice president search for George Bush, and then said, "It's me. I pick me."
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did.
Maybe Kaylee could be host.
What a host of what? Like a vibe
of the
host?
Show of the show on OAN. Okay.
She's what?
She could. Oh. She'll probably want to be a contestant, and I'll be like, "No, thank you. We've had enough of you." Lacrosse is a big turnoff.
Now, I understand that when you leave office, you're talking about starting up Trump TV. So is that what you're doing? You're just sort of doing that in the background while you're preparing to leave the Oval Office?
That's exactly what we're doing. We're going to start a new network, a very strong network, possibly with streaming capabilities as well, you know, for the Russian hookers. And... But if we don't do that, we'll buy OAN because they already have a very robust infrastructure. I think they have the basement of a community college all set up. That's where they record their show from. So we may buy OAN.
Okay.
And
plus,
Trump
they're really
News.
Easy letters to remember, OAN. I mean, there's so
Trump
many
News
letters
Association
in all the different
will be the, you know, TNA. That's going to be the new branding.
You know, the Rolling Stones have a song called Little TNA, just in case you were wondering. But it's T and A. But, you know, it works for
you. Oh, well, ours is going to be Big TNA, okay?
Oh, Donald Trump. I can't wait to see you go. Are you going to get on the helicopter, like Marine One, like Richard Nixon did, and do like a thumbs up when you leave?
I'm going to do probably double middle fingers, and I'll get on I will actually bring my private plane, the 757, onto the White House lawn, just so they have to do a lot more work in terms of gardening. And we'll take off from there, and I'll give them the double middle fingers, and we'll fly off to a very beautiful non-extradition country.
So you're admitting.
I was thinking maybe we would take up residence at Deutsche Bank and find some of our money over there and use it somewhere, Daddy.
Well, you may have to. Go ahead.
That would be great, and you could do that thing, remember, in Decent Proposal. We could just throw the money on the bed, and you could sort of make money angels with it very beautifully.
Oh, I love to. You know I love doing that. You always say the best things, Daddy. I love listening to you talk.
All right.
So, I like hearing you talk.
Oh, boy.
Excuse me. Don't interrupt. When we're having very powerful, erotic father-daughter talk, you don't interrupt.
Come on, man.
Who is that? Oh, my God. Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
Wow. Joe Biden saying, come on, man. Donald.
Sleepy Joe.
Come
I don't even
man.
Call him Sleepy Joe. I call him Slow Joe.
Why?
Because he's slow.
All right. So have you admitted that you're finally admitting your loss? Joe Biden will be our next president, Donald Trump, and you are going to go off and do your media thing. Yeah.
Oh, no, there was no, nobody admitted this. This was not something that was admitted. This was a very sort of hypothetical, what are they called? Hypotheticals, okay? So you were asking, and I was telling you what I would do if I lost, but of course, I didn't lose.
Daddy's not a loser.
Okay. Loser. What's it going to take to get you out of there? What's it going to take to get you out of there? Because we want. Did you notice all the people dancing in the streets Saturday night?
I did, and that's okay. You know, I'm not a big fan of dancing, but our great vice president loves dancing, so it was okay. You know, people are entitled. You know, I know I'm in the swamp, the disgusting swamp with all the Democrats, but that's okay. I'm okay with a fight. That's why I went to D.C. I was totally okay. I could have moved the White House to, you know, some town in Idaho if I wanted to be surrounded by like-minded Mountain Dew for brains, rifle-holding people.
Hey, Donald, I know you're verbose and all that, but we're getting to the end of the hour, and I don't want to leave the Progressive Voices Network until we tell them that this is actually the brilliance of J.L. Coven as
Hi.
Donald Trump. Hi!
Hi!
J.L., you rock. Thank you for playing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Fun as always.
I will post links to your stuff on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com. You do the best Trump, and I'm sure we won't lose you. You'll be around like acid reflux for a while.
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
I will stay here forever, like the herpes that I caught in the 80s.
Perfect. Thanks for letting me play along.
This was so much fun.
Oh, absolutely.
We've ended. J.L. Coven, I loved you did some videos today. They're up at YouTube. I have got a couple of them here, but we're already out of time. I will post a link to your YouTube channel. I hope I'm sure they've seen your videos already. But, the lovely thing about Trump is, like herpes, you're just not going to go away.
Exactly.
J.L. Coven, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
A good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Laffy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we're on overtime now. So we made it through Election Day. Now we just have to make it through the rest of the interregnum. Do you know that's the name?
That's the hard part. Yeah. That's where we start seeing things explode and go to hell. Well, so let's hope that we all hold it together and that the rule of law prevails.
Really? Good luck to us all. All right. Yeah. With that, it's a wrap, everybody. Tomorrow, as I mentioned before, Wendell Potter will be here. We will talk about what happened at the Supreme Court today. We'll talk about the Affordable Care Act. We'll also talk about Medicare, because I noticed some people appreciated my little primer on Medicare Advantage. We'll get the whole scoop from Wendell Potter tomorrow. And, you know, one more thing that we can at least put in the back of our minds when we're feeling a little shaky and stressed. It looks like the Supreme Court is not going to kill off what's left of the Affordable Care Act. So
yet.
Yeah. Well, but then,
no,
you know, the new administration's coming in. Georgia, vote! More than anything, we need John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock to win their races. Because if we pick up those two Senate seats, it's tied 50-50. Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker.
I have how to vote and how to make sure you're registered at Gotta Laugh on Twitter. There's my pinned thread will help Georgia voters if you want to refer to anything.
Okay. I was going to sing Georgia, but you know, you're better off not. You don't want me to sing.
No.
So just think it. Hear it in your mind. Georgia. There's a bunch of great Georgia songs. All right. I'll let you go. I'll sing to myself in the shower where I can't, you know, hurt anybody's ears. But go, you know, rainy night in Georgia, midnight train to Georgia, Georgia on my mind. There's a lot of great songs. So play them and vote. All right, January 5th. All right, Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters. I Gotta Laugh here every Tuesday. We're out of here. Bye.
What?